Good evening. It's pretty good. Sounds like there's lively people out there. Can I turn this to the side? Okay. Oops. Very good. Well, I just want to thank each of you for coming this evening and for your prayers already. We're thankful for those prayers. We need them. We're trusting God and trusting you to pray for us. We do count it a privilege to be here this week, and yet we also come with a certain sense of trembling as we think of the opportunity we have to try to speak this week for God, what might be some of the things that might be on His heart. We've been praying about that and crying out to the Lord, and we want to continue to seek Him. And I just thank you for each of you who have pressed in there and are doing that in your prayers throughout the day. And we just ask that you would continue to do that and keep us in mind. I was reminded this evening, I shared it with a family soon after I got here, but I was reminded of, many of you know the name Richard Wurmbrand. He spent approximately 15 years, I believe it was, in the communist prisons in Eastern Europe, or I believe it was. And after he was released from that, he preached a message once that he titled, "The Blessing of Being Nothing." And I thought that's interesting, but it was a very unique message. The Blessing of Being Nothing. In his message, he talked about how in this prison camp, where for much of his 15 years there, he was in solitary confinement. And he said the biggest thing God taught him there was the blessing of being nothing. And then he said, you know, it's amazing what God can do with nothing. He created a universe out of nothing. And I was thinking of that tonight. Too many times we're too big for God to use and we get in His way. But my prayer this week would be that I could be nothing and God could be everything. So that's our prayer, and you just thank you for joining in. Well, this evening I'd like to preach a message titled, "A God Who Is Speaking." A God Who Is Speaking. So we'll turn to Hebrews chapter 1 for our opening passage here, and we'll have some thoughts, introductory thoughts along this subject, and then we'll try to go into taking it a little further. But a God who is speaking. This has continued to be a subject that I've pondered and meditated on and has challenged me in my own personal life. And I was just reflecting on this subject again today, pondering over it, praying over it. I was just reminded how much I needed in my own life. But let's read here in Hebrews chapter 1, the first three verses. We'll draw some thoughts out of here and then continue on. If you have your Bibles, we'll look at Hebrews 1, verse 1. This book begins with God. I like that, because that's how everything begins. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. Still speaking of Jesus, who being the brightness of His glory in the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. That's an amazing passage there. And there's so much in there we could draw out of and speak about tonight. But the thing I want to point to here in this passage, we're talking about a God who speaks. And I think it's in Isaiah, God admonished the nation of Israel for their idols. He said, "You have made yourself gods, that though they have mouths, they don't speak. And though they have ears, they don't hear." But the God, of the Creator God, the God of and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, He is a God who communicates. And that blesses me. He wants to communicate. He wants to speak. He wants to reveal Himself. He wants to reveal truth. And He wants to communicate all those truths to His people. And he did that. This passage is telling us about this God who... The sum of verse 1 is basically saying that God spake. It's telling us that he spake in various ways in times past by to the fathers by the prophets. But in a nutshell, it's telling us, it's emphasizing that God spoke. And so he's reminding the people he's writing to here of that truth. God spoke. He spoke, it tells us, he spoke in various ways and in different times. But the message of this verse, it's telling us, it's reminding us that God speaks. God has spoken and God speaks. God spake is the verb used here in the King James Version. But again, just reminding us, this verse is teaching us that he is a God of communication. He communicates with his people. He reveals himself to his people. And when I use the word communication here, I'm speaking of revelation and truth. God desires, he longs to reveal himself. And he does that by speaking in various ways. But God, this verse reminds us that God has always communicated with his people. He did it in different ways, at different times, but there was a thread clear recorded for us, clear through the Bible, of God communicating truth, things about himself, eternal realities, and truth to his people through the centuries and through the ages. He has always done that, and he wants to continue to do that. Isn't that a blessing? A God who communicates. He is up there. It says in Isaiah 55 that as high as the heavens are above the earth, so much higher are his thoughts than our thoughts. And here we can listen to this God who knows the end from the beginning. And we can have him communicate eternal truth into our life that we can live by and order our life by. That's a blessing to me. Now, I know this verse is also... It's in the past tense, so it's probably most specifically, he's writing here to a Hebrew audience, but it's also probably most specifically referring to the first covenant. And we're going to talk about that some here tonight. We're going to go back and look at this, some of this in Exodus and Deuteronomy. But God wants to communicate. He speaks. He's a God who speaks. He's a God who reveals. He's a God who wants to communicate truth to his people. The thing also here is that it was a progressive revelation. We see that in the Bible. This is not a main point tonight, but even in the life of Abraham, if you study his life, there are multiple revelations that God had with Abraham. And you read for a while there, and then it says, and the Lord revealed himself to Abraham. And the amazing thing is, as he revealed himself to Abraham, he did it, he revealed himself by several different names to Abraham, and in several different ways. And it was a progressive revelation, even in Abraham's life. But starting in Genesis, clear through Revelation, it's a progressive revelation. And it continues. It's like the opening of a curtain. And the truth is all back here, and the curtain's closed. And so then the curtain opens a little bit, and Abraham gets to see some of these eternal truths of God. And then as the Old Testament progresses, the curtain gets opened wider and wider until finally Jesus Christ comes in person. And he says this amazing thing. He says, if you have seen me, you've seen the Father. A perfect revelation of God. And that's what this tells us. He spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets in verse 1. But then it says in verse 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. So Jesus Christ, his life and ministry is one tremendous communication to humanity. And God is communicating amazing things through the life and ministry of Jesus. And that's not just our message tonight, but that's an amazing thought. And Jesus Christ, you can study him for the rest of your life. Study his ministry. Study his life. And he could say that I only speak those things which my Father tells me. I only do those things that he would have me do. I always do the will of my Father. And if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And God's heart was yearning. For years he had opened this curtain slightly, a little more and a little more. But his heart was yearning to communicate, to open this curtain up wider. And that's what he did when Jesus Christ came. He opened the curtain, and there we have a more full revelation of who God is than ever before. And of his heart. of His will and of His purpose, of His law even, through the life of Jesus. So each speaking, each revelation reveals more about who He is. It's progressive. It was through the prophets, and then it was by His Son. He has spoken by His Son. So God has always spoken. He's always communicated to His people. You see, that God's heart is that we grow. He desires and longs that we grow in our understanding of Him. And by the way, that's what Christianity is. Christianity is a relationship, a walking with God as the centrality of that relationship. And we have to always come back to that center. You can't have Christianity without Christ as the center. And He desires that we just press in, and He wants to reveal more and more about Himself to each of our hearts and our lives. So just knowing this I read this passage as an introduction here in Hebrews just to remind us about God's longing, His desire to communicate to His people. What does that do to your heart tonight? What does that do to my heart? Just knowing that God desires to communicate. You know, it reminds me, we have 4 sons and 2 daughters. My oldest son is 14, but there's something about just a good sit-down and a good, healthy communication with one of your children, your wife. It's just refreshing, and it's a blessing. And think of the heart of God that way. He longs to have that relationship. He longs to speak into our life and to guide us with His eye, as it says in Psalms. He desires that. He wants to communicate. He wants to reveal. He wants to speak into our lives. How does your heart respond to that truth? I'm just going to put that question there and let you ponder that in your mind. We may come back to it throughout the message here tonight. But what is our attitude about God's desire to speak to us? Well, let's look at an example. Let's look at an example in the Old Testament. Let's turn back to, we have several passages we want to look at tonight. And I understand it's not the most convenient sometimes to turn to all these, but I'd like for you to, if you can. Let's turn to Exodus 19. First of all, we're going to look at an example, illustration, if you want, in the Old Testament about God's desire to communicate and the people's response to that desire. Let's turn to Exodus 19. I'll read the first 11 verses. Actually, I'm sorry. The first 9 verses. In the 3rd month, okay, just give you a little backdrop here. Y'all are familiar with this story, but this is the context, is they were just delivered from Egypt with a mighty deliverance. And God said, I delivered you so I could have a people for myself. Right? Was that God's heart? He saw their affliction and their bondage, and His heart of compassion went out to them. But we'll even see it in this passage. Let's read it. And so this was after that deliverance. They passed through the Red Sea, and shortly after that, they came to Mount Sinai. And they spent quite a bit of time here, and several things happened while they were at Mount Sinai. We might reference back to this account several times this week as we go through the week. But this evening, we want to look at this aspect. So just remember, God just delivered them with a mighty deliverance out of bondage, out of Egypt, where they were bond slaves and servants to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians. They were oppressed. It's a type of how we live under the oppression of sin and Satan until we surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ and find deliverance through Him. So it's a type of that. And here they had experienced deliverance. And He's bringing them now to reveal Himself to them, to begin this revelation to this people, to speak to them. Let's read Exodus 19, verse 1. In the 3rd month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness. And there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. And I just want to say something here. The foundation, we tend to look at the foundation of this Mount Sinai covenant We tend to look at the foundation as a works-based covenant. It was not. The foundation was what God did for them, his deliverance. Look what it says. Verse 4, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you out. That was the foundation of this covenant. His mercy and grace. Verse 5, now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. What would make them a peculiar people above all the people of the earth? What does it say? If you will obey my voice. God was speaking to them. And he was going to speak some more. And he was going to speak some more about himself. And he says, if you will obey my voice, you will be a peculiar people. And obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, and you shall be a peculiar treasure. Verse 6 is going on with what would happen, the blessings that would come if they would obey. If they would hear, obey his voice and keep his commandments. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses was commanded by the Lord to speak these words to the children of Israel. But the words were from God himself. Verse 7, and Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. So an amazing thing happened there. And we'll read, let's jump down to verse 16. Just for the sake of the passage here. The people were told to get ready, and they did. In verse 16, it says, it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon the Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And then he gives direction there to Moses. All right, turn over to Exodus 20. We're following this count through. Exodus 20, verse 18. This is referring back to this account where God came down. You know, someone has said that revival, when revival truly comes, it is scary. So I sorry for the lack of a better word. But we all think we want revival. But when revival comes, there's a revelation of God in the midst of his people. And it's a fearful thing. And we need to ask ourselves, how desperately do we want that? How desperately do we want God to speak to me, to my heart, even this week and in my life? He wants to communicate. He wants to reveal himself. But when he does that, it's not necessarily a pleasant thing to the outward man. Verse 17 of chapter, we're jumping over to chapter 20 of Exodus, one chapter over. Verse 18, actually. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God has come to prove you, that his fear may be before your faces, that you sin not. But there we have their response to that encounter with God. Now let's turn over to Deuteronomy. We're following this account through because it's mentioned in the book of Hebrews. We'll look at it in just a little bit. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Here Moses is, before he passes off the scene and passes on is and passes the leadership of this nation to Joshua. He's speaking to these people. And these are some of the final things. He's going through the book of Deuteronomy. He's reminding them of what happened and admonishing them from those experiences. Deuteronomy 5 verse 1, "And Moses called all Israel and said unto them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that you may learn them and keep and do them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb." He's talking there about Mount Sinai. "The Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us, who are all of us here alive this day. The Lord talked with you face to face in the mount, out of the midst of the fire. I stood between the Lord and you at that time to show you the word of the Lord. For you were afraid by reason of the fire and went not up into the mount," saying. And this is what he said. Okay, looking a little further in chapter 5 of Deuteronomy, look at verse 22 through 29. "These words the Lord spake unto all your assembly in the mount out of the midst of the fire of the cloud in the thick darkness with a great voice. And he added no more. And he wrote them in two tables of stone and delivered them unto me." And so he's saying, you heard this voice. God spoke to you these truths and you heard them. "And it came to pass when you," verse 23, "and it came to pass when ye heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, for the mountain did burn with fire, that you came near unto me, even all the heads of your tribes and your elders. And you said, Behold, the Lord our God hath showed us his glory and his greatness. And we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God doth talk with man and he liveth." So here's this whole encounter with God. They're realizing that God can speak and man can live and they could hear his voice. Verse 25, Moses is reminding them of what happened in their response to that. Verse 25, "Now therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God any more, then we shall die. For who is there of all flesh that hath heard the voice of the living God speaking out of the midst of the fire as we have and lived?" And they tell Moses, he's reminding them, "You all told me," verse 27, "Go thou near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say, and speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it and do it. And the Lord heard the voice of your words when you spake unto me. And the Lord said unto me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken unto thee. They have well said all that they have spoken." And it almost seems here, and I'm not going to make a big debate about this in this verse, but it says the Lord heard that request and the Lord was okay with that. It's like that there were times of ignorance, in those times of ignorance, there's certain things he winked at, but now commendeth men everywhere to repent. But it seems like he accepted that. It almost seems like that verse 28, that he accepted it, but look what verse 29 says. Notice here the cry of the heart of God in response to those people's request. He says, "Oh, that there were such an heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever." And by simply acknowledging that, God is saying, that heart was not in them. The heart was not in them. That heart was stone. In the voice of the word, the words God was speaking, the revelation God wanted to give them, just bounced off that heart. It didn't penetrate. It didn't enter in and change those people's lives. That was their response. "Moses, we heard the voice speak. We don't want it anymore. You go hear the voice of God. You come tell us what he says and we'll do it." But God knew that wouldn't happen. Now let's contrast this. Actually, before we do that, I want to read a few Psalms. You don't need to turn there. You'll probably recognize them anyway. But I'll give you the passages and I'll just read them. "Oh, that there were a heart, such a heart in them, that they would fear me, that they would long for this revelation, that they would love me, and that they would keep my commandments." That's all picked in that picture, I believe. The first one is in Psalm 81, verses 8 through 16, and I'll just read these. You can turn there if you want, but you can at least write it down. Psalm 81, 8 through 16. We're talking about God's heart to speak to his people and his response, the people's response to God's wanting to communicate, to reveal himself to them. That's what we're talking about. their response to that desire for God to reveal himself to them. Psalm 81 verse 1, sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow the trumpet in the new moon in the time appointed on your solemn feast day. For this was a statute for Israel and a law of the God of Jacob. This he ordained in Joseph for a testimony when he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard the language that I understood not. I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were delivered from the pots. He's talking about the nation of Israel. I removed them from their slavery, from their bondage. I removed them. Verse 7, thou calledest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee in the waters of Meribah, Selah. I'm sorry, I read the first 8 verses. Wasn't planning on. I guess that gives us the context. Verse 8, hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. And here you see the heart of God. I delivered you. Hear me. I want to speak to you. There shall no strange God be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange God. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice. Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. So they exchanged the wisdom and the counsel of the Almighty God to walk in their own counsels. Because they didn't want to hear this God speaking. They didn't hear him speaking. He was speaking. He was wanting to communicate. He delivered them and he revealed himself there. And they said, no. Verse 13, oh, that my people had hearkened unto me and Israel had walked in my ways. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, God says, and that Israel had walked in my ways. What was God's biggest problem in the Old Testament? Was it Egypt? Was it Syria? Was it Babylon? What was God's biggest problem in the Old Testament? Israel! He could take care of all them nations, no problem. One of you shall chase 100, and 10 of you will chase 1,000, and it happened, no problem. His problem was that his people would not listen to him. They didn't want to hear his voice. Their heart was hard, and they walked in their own counsels instead of letting the wisdom of God direct their lives. A God who is speaking. He goes on here, verse 13 again. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. Verse 14, I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. I can handle their adversaries. I'll take care of all your enemies if you'll listen to me and walk in my ways. Amen? He goes on in verse 15 and says, the haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, for their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. What beautiful promises. If they would have listened, heard his voice, and walked in his ways. Now, there's so many passages we could look at. I'll read one more, Psalm 50. Psalm 50, verses 1 through 7, and then I'll look at verse 17. It's for the sake of time. Psalm 50, verse 1, the mighty God, even the Lord, hath spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. He spoke, and all things are created and held together by the word of his power. There's tremendous creative power in the voice of Jehovah. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shined. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. I like that. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. That's why I'm saying it's not necessarily all quiet and peaceful when God moves through an area, through a land, through a community. It stirs up. It says, it shall be very tempestuous round about him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me. those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. And it goes on, it's a beautiful psalm. But verse 17 says, seeing, but verse 16, but unto the wicked God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldst take my covenant in thy mouth? Seeing thou hatest instruction, and casteth my words behind thee. And he's talking to this nation of Israel. You hated instruction, and you cast my words behind you. You looked at my word as of no regard. You did not value and esteem my words. And that was the nation of Israel. Now let's contrast that. Let's turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 3. There's someone else here we want to look at. Let's contrast that heart and that desire. We want to contrast this heart of this people and this nation to that of the heart of Moses, the man of God. Deuteronomy 3:23. Moses speaking here. It's about his desire to enter into the land of Canaan. And he was forbidden because of his sin there. Verse 23, and I besought the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness in thy mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to thy works and according to thy might? I pray thee, let me go over and see the good land that is beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain in Lebanon. And he goes on and says, but the Lord was wroth with me for your sakes and would not let me go. But notice the heart of Moses. It just challenges my heart. Look what he says in verse 24. He says, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness. And here's Moses, the man of God, who spent several times, 40 days and 40 nights, up on the mountain with God. And he says, when he died, God said, there was no man, no servant like my servant Moses, for I spoke to him face to face as friend with friend. He says, show me my glory. Show me thy glory, Moses prayed. And God revealed himself and passed by before him and revealed his hinder parts to him. Tremendous revelations of God. And then the heart of Moses in relation to all that, he says, you've just begun to show me your glory. I'm not satisfied. I want more of you. You see the difference, the contrast between Moses, the servant of the Lord, and the nation of Israel? We don't want God speaking to us. Moses says, let me go over to the land of Canaan. I want to go over. I want to experience it. I want to see more of your glory. You've just begun. Where's your heart tonight? Where's my heart? How do we feel? How do we think about the fact that God wants to speak to us? God wants to reveal himself to us. God wants to communicate to us through his word and by his spirit. How does our heart respond to that? Do we have a heart like the heart of Moses? Or is it a heart like the nation of Israel? Let's turn back to Hebrews chapter 12. A God who is speaking. Hebrews chapter 12. So that's just the introduction, by the way. Let's get into the rest of the message. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 18 through 29. Here's this writer. Remember how he starts out the book? God spake in times past, in various ways, in various times. He hath spoken by his Son. Now, toward the end of this book of Hebrews, this is actually a theme you can follow through the book of Hebrews, but toward the end of the book of Hebrews here, he picks that thought back up about God speaking to them, having spoken to them and speaking to them. Hebrews 12, verse 18. For you are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest. Where was that at? What's he talking about? Mount Sinai. We just looked at that, right? So you're not come to Mount Sinai. Verse 19. In the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. I told you that was the heart of those people. And this Hebrew writer says this was a problem. These people heard that voice and said, please don't speak to us anymore. They entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. Verse 20, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake in the presence of Jehovah, that is, in the presence of God. Verse 22, now contrasting that, you're not come to that mountain. But, verse 22 says, you are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the great assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. This is just a, don't lose your thought here, this is just an interjection. But what did the blood of Abel speak? What did it speak? Revenge. The blood of Jesus speaks better than the blood of Abel. That blood of Abel cried out from the ground and said, avenge my enemy. The blood of Jesus speaks better than that. Verse 25 is what we want here. See, here's the command. He's saying, you come to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. Not Mount Sinai, but the church of the firstborn. Verse 25. Here comes the warning, the caution. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. And I believe he's referring back to chapter 2, or verse 2 of chapter 1, where he says, God hath spoken through his Son. He's referring to Jesus Christ, the head of the church. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. And see, you hear the contrast here. So that those people refused, they entreated that God would not speak to them anymore. He's saying here, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. A God who is speaking is what we're talking about. A God who is speaking. Okay, I want to remind you tonight in the transfiguration account in Matthew 17, we're not going to read it, you know the account, but in that account, in Matthew 17, Peter, James, and John were there with Jesus on the mount, and he was transfigured before them, and that cloud came down, which God was in that cloud, and then they heard the voice of God speaking there, and he said this about Jesus. He said, this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. What did he say then? Hear ye him. Hear ye him. In John 10, verse 27, Jesus said this is one of the distinguishing characteristics of his people. One of the distinguishing characteristics of his people is that my sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. A God who is speaking. By the way, this is how we are converted. If you're here tonight and are not born again, this is how you get converted. You hear the voice, the word of God. We hear God speak through his word. 1 Peter 1:23 says that being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So that's how we're born again, through hearing the voice of God through his word. Let me show you that in John chapter 5, in the ministry of Jesus. You should turn there if you can. John chapter 5. Start reading verse 24 through 29. For years, this I never saw this in this passage. But more recently, it just challenged me as I saw this. John 5, verse 24. A God who is speaking. We should start reading verse 19. Jesus said some amazing things there. We're going to break into this as he's teaching here. Verse 24 of John 5. Truly, truly, or verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. That's an amazing verse. And he follows that up with another verse that emphasizes what he just says. Verse 25, he starts again with verily, verily, or truly, truly. He's making it more emphatic than ever. He's emphasizing this truth. And he basically says what he says in verse 24, but he says it in another way in verse 25. Truly, truly, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. And I always thought that means future. I don't think it does. The hour is coming, and now is, Jesus said, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. And the reason I think he's talking about that it's not just future at all, because look what it says. Let's read on, verse 26. For as the Father hath given life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Now verse 28 says, don't marvel at that. Don't marvel at what I just taught you. Don't let that overwhelm you, and don't marvel at that to the sense of overwhelming you. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So he's saying, don't marvel at what I just taught you, that those who are dead will hear the voice of the Son of God and live. Because the hour is coming, the day is coming, his voice will go out, and all those who are dead, all those who are in the grave, will be raised up by his voice. So to be born again is to hear that voice and believe. A God who is speaking. A God who is speaking through his word. A God who is speaking, I don't have this in the message. We could talk about the various ways he speaks. He speaks through creation. Day unto day uttereth speech. Night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no language country where their voice is not heard, or whatever it says. I'm paraphrasing in Psalm 19. But his voice has gone out throughout the whole earth. He's speaking. Did you hear God speak today? Did you hear God speak through his creation? He was speaking. The problem is we're going through life wide open on the phone and we don't have any time to hear nothing. And the whole time God's speaking. Are you listening? Do you hear his voice? Do I hear his voice? He wants to communicate. He wants to communicate his love, his mercy, his goodness, his holiness, his righteousness, all the things about himself. And he's speaking. But here we're talking about what it means to be born again. If you're not converted here tonight, it's not that you're just a bad person. The problem is you're dead. You're dead in trespasses and sins. And the only way to be made alive is to hear that voice. Let me read it to you again. Verse 25. Verily, verily, Jesus saying, the hour is coming and now is when the dead, those who are spiritually dead, shall hear the voice of the Son of God through his word, through the preaching of his word, however it may be, through creation. When the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. That's what it means to be born again. And if you haven't heard the voice of God, maybe you're dead spiritually. Listen, Christ didn't just come to make bad people a little better. He came to make dead people alive. We were dead until we believed in Jesus and life flowed into us. Eternal life. It's not just any life, it's eternal life. And I'll just give you an example. I'll just tell you this story because we don't have time to read it, but I want to give you an example. Okay, in Acts chapter 16, excuse me. Excuse me. Acts 16. Paul and Silas are in prison. They were beaten with many stripes. They're sitting there in the prison. Through the night, they start singing and praising God. The earthquake came, and they were delivered from their bondages there. And then the jailer came in there, the keeper of the prison. He thought they had all left. He was going to kill himself. And they said, don't do it. They said, don't do that. And then he came in verse 30, and I'm just going to paraphrase this story. I want to give you an example of what I just taught you, that you have to hear God speak through his word, so to speak. I want to be careful how I say that. But we are born again by the word of God, or through the word of God. And I'm not talking about some emotional experience necessarily, but we hear this word, and that word is what makes us alive, when there's faith there in the heart. And if you haven't done that, and you know that God's been prompting you and calling you, and you know you're not born again, you're resisting that. You're resisting God's voice. Okay, here in Acts 16 we're talking about. So the prisoner, the jailer, asked him this question. He brought him out of the prison, and he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? It's a good question. If you're not converted here tonight, it's a good question to ask. What must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's more in that statement than just an easy believism on Jesus. He says, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you find clear through the New Testament, especially in the book of Acts, that they preached him as Savior and Lord. That is salvation. Not just Savior, Savior and Lord. And too many people have Jesus as a Savior, but their life is not surrendered to him. And they're living their own life. I came to ask the Blaze today. I don't want to be judgmental, but he has a big semi there, and he has pulling tractors. And he said, on the side, I'm pulling for Jesus. I'm not going to judge that man. It's interesting. Is Jesus the Lord of his life? I don't know. But it's a big problem. I've quit asking Christian or people in America, are you a Christian? Near as much, I say, is Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? No, you can't have one without the other. Okay, so they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. But notice what they did immediately after that. They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Verse 32, the next verse says, and they spake unto him the word of the Lord. And to all that were in his house, said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And they began to speak to him the words of the Lord. You get it? You make the connection. Jesus said, if you hear my voice, if you hear my word and believe on me, then you shall be saved. And they said, you believe on the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved. And they began immediately to speak to him the word of the Lord. And sometime as he was listening to that word of God and he was wanting to submit his life to the Lord Jesus Christ, he was listening to the word of God as they spake to him. He was born again in his whole house. You see it there? The Word of God was there. The Spirit of God was there. The God who is speaking, speaks through His Word, through His creation, through the church, through many different ways. But there's creative power in the Word of God. We could look at Genesis 1. God spake. Creation came out of that Word. The Word of God is powerful. The Word of God will change our life. Psalm 29 is such a beautiful psalm. It says over and over there, it talks about the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord. Read it tonight if you have time or in the morning. Psalm 29, the voice of the Lord. I'll just give you one verse. It says the voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. And when you open this word, or you hear the preaching of the word, and the word of God speaks to your heart, life is created. Hallelujah. So that's the only way to become a Christian or to be converted. Now, secondly, you know this passage in Deuteronomy But I want to read it to you. That's how we become a Christian. The only way to live as God's people. The way we are called to live as God's people is through His Word, by hearing His voice through His Word, hearing Him speaking. And I struggle a little bit. I don't want this message to be a feeling thing where God said this out of the clear blue sky. I'm mainly emphasizing this Word. This Word is alive. It's quick and powerful. And there's a God that wants to speak to our hearts from this Word, through creation in various ways too, but especially through this Word. Deuteronomy 8, here again we have these people of Israel, and Moses is reminding them and talking to them in Deuteronomy before he passes off the scene. Deuteronomy 8, verse 1 through 3. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. He's saying, remember, please remember. Actually, the book of Deuteronomy has remember in it 14 or 16 times. Moses is telling this nation of Israel, remember, remember, remember. And here he says, remember. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Why did he lead him for 40 years in the wilderness? He's going to tell us. 40 years in the wilderness to teach him this, to humble thee. 40 years to try to break that hard heart that was in there, that wouldn't listen to his voice speak at the mount, refused to listen to it, entreated him not to speak to them anymore. For 40 years to try to humble that, break that heart, to try to get into that heart of those people. 40 years. How long will it take for you and I? 40 years to humble you and to prove you, to know what is in your heart. I led you through that wilderness for 40 years to humble you, to prove you, and to show you what's in your own heart. That's one thing he taught him. The second thing he taught him, that he might make thee know this, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. So he led them through the wilderness to show them what's in their own heart, their own hardness and unbelief. And he led them through there to show them, this is how you live. Not by bread that fell every day, not by that manna, but by the word of the Lord. Through the word of the God who is speaking. That's how we live. That's why we're called to live as God's people. It's a challenge to my own heart tonight. Jesus emphasized that. We're not going to spend a lot of time on that tonight, but we could. We could look at John 6. And a lot of that chapter, he's reminding them that the bread that came down from heaven, Moses didn't give you that bread. And that was pointing to Christ, the Redeemer coming. And we could liken that to the Word of God. And this phrase here in Deuteronomy 8, verse 2. We could talk about abiding in Christ. We live there as we abide in Him. I have that connection. We hear His voice. My sheep hear my voice. It says in John 8, verse 31 and 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, this is what Jesus says, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And that word continue, if you continue in my word, that's the same Greek word as in John 15 where it says abide in me and I in you. Abide, continue, it's the same Greek word. If you abide in my word and my words abide in you, spiritual life, a God who is speaking. A God who's not living by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's how we're called to live as God's children. We are converted by hearing His word. I just showed you that in John. We live from that word, receiving our life from His word. He's a God who is speaking. So we want to try to move this towards closing here tonight. Two couple things we want to look at. What is the condition of our hearts here tonight? What is the condition of our hearts? Are we convinced of the privilege it is to be, the privilege it is to be the people of God, to hear His voice, to walk with Him, to have Him infuse His life into us through His Word and by His Spirit? Are we convinced of the privilege? Was that a privilege to the nation of Israel to have God reveal Himself to them and speak to them? He didn't do that to the Egyptians. He didn't do that to the Assyrians. God didn't reveal Himself that way to any other nation. Was it a privilege for Israel? Absolutely. Is it a privilege for us? Do we see it as a privilege? What is our heart tonight? Is it our heart like Moses said, Lord, You've only begun to show me the things about Yourself. I want more, Lord. I want to see Him who is invisible. That's how Moses endured, by seeing Him who is invisible. How do you do that? Through faith. Through His Word, I imagine. It's a privilege that God wants to reveal Himself to us. It's a privilege that God wants to speak to us through His Word and by His Spirit. It's a tremendous privilege that the Almighty God wants to direct our path in our life by His wisdom and by His counsels. Let us not put them behind our back and walk in our own counsels. God wants to communicate to us. He's speaking to our hearts tonight through His Word and by His Spirit. And anyone who brings that Word is just an unworthy vessel. That's all we are. Is God still saying of His people tonight, like He said in Deuteronomy 5:29, is He still saying, oh, that there were in them such an heart, that there were such an heart in them to hear My voice and obey My words? In the Old Testament, we see a God who is speaking to a people who weren't listening. How is it for us today? It's a privilege to hear God's voice. It's a privilege when this Word opens up to us. It's a privilege when we feel our spiritual man is fed from the Word of God. It's a privilege to have that communication with our Heavenly Father. And as we walk with Him, He reveals more and more of Himself to us. What a privilege. What a blessing. That's the first thing I want us to consider tonight. What's the condition of my heart here tonight? Do I want that voice speaking? Do I invite that voice to speak? Do I welcome that voice to speak into my life? Is that my source of life and strength? The second thing I want us to note tonight and think about is that there are many voices speaking all around us. There are many voices speaking. No, I'm sorry, they're not speaking. They're shouting. As we go through life, they're shouting in our ears. How will we ever hear God's voice come through all the commotion and the confusion all around us in society? There's many voices speaking all around us. Many times they're drowning out God's voice in your life and in my life. These other voices drown out the voice of God. What are some of those voices that are speaking? And I don't have any personal bone here at all tonight, but I'm just going to try to be a little bit practical. One of these voices that's speaking is our culture, our society all around us. And more, if you actually believe in the holiness, the judgment of God, you are a narrow-minded bigot. But society, the culture around us, the world and its fads, it's shouting at us. Every time you go to town, it's shouting in your ears. It's shouting in the ears of your young people. It's screaming at them, look at me. Listen to me. It's all around us. And we'll never make it through if we don't learn how to hear the voice of God. We won't make it. Because all these other voices are shouting at us. Every aspect of our lifestyle, I'm sorry, but it just shouts at us. Every aspect of our lifestyle, from the things we drive to the things we wear, how we dress, from how we do our hair to our shoes, there's voices shouting at us. And I'm sorry, if we're not going to listen to the voice of God, what are we going to listen to? Which voice are we going to listen to? I need this as much as anyone. But there's voices shouting at us. Every aspect of life. Technology is speaking. And listen, I'm not going to get specific on these things. I'm asking and trusting God to do that by His Spirit. I don't know what the issues are in your life. But technology is speaking. No, it's not. It's screaming in your ears and in the ears of your children. It's affecting our ability to meditate and think deeply about God and hear His voice. It's a pain. I'm sitting there trying to study in my phone. Bzz, bzz, and what do? Stop. Pick it up. Read the text. Oh, yeah, okay, I got to take care of that. Send it off. Back down. 5 minutes. That's not long to go very deep in your thoughts. Bzz. It's there. It's real. But we have to take a serious look at it. I'm not saying where you draw those lines, but I'm just saying let's be aware that technology is shouting in our ears. It's distracting us from hearing the voice of God. And we must be able to set some of that stuff aside at times at least, to go aside and go alone for hours, yeah, maybe days, but for hours, for at least time alone with God so we can think deeply about God and about His Word. And meditate on this Word and let this Word speak to our hearts. But technology is shouting at us. And it's drowning out the voice of God. It's not all bad. It's a lot of good things. But it's still there all the time. We have to be able to turn it off sometime and to be free of it. Another voice that is shouting. Actually, I wanted to point something out here. I don't want to keep you too late here, but I want to. This is in Deuteronomy 2. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it to you. I'll try to read it nice and clear. Try to follow along. But to be able to hear God's voice is a safeguard against deception. It was way back in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 13, verse 1. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, that's pretty glaring. I mean, that's amazing. Somebody, a prophet, he dreams dreams and he does a sign or a wonder. I mean, a miracle, that gets your attention. And the sign or the wonder come to pass whereof he spake unto thee, saying, and then he says this, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. If that happens to you, that's what God's telling this people. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proves you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Wow. He's proving you to see what's in your heart. Very likely this false prophet or dreamer is going to say something that sounds good. I don't know, but it could be. But God's allowing it to happen. And then verse 4 says, you shall walk after the Lord your God and fear Him, keep His commandments, and obey His voice. And you shall serve Him and cleave unto Him. He's saying your safeguard against deception is right there. To walk after the Lord your God. Fear Him, a healthy, godly fear. Yes, of His holiness and His majesty. His judgment to come. Keep His commandments and obey His voice. Another voice that's shouting at us is the accuser of the brethren. It's a voice of condemnation and confusion. Maybe it's telling you tonight you're not good enough. Maybe it's saying you did it. I'm done. There's no more mercy and grace for you. I don't know where you are tonight. But that voice could be shouting in your ear, saying you've done it. You're a sinner. You're not good enough. You're lost. It's too late. I don't know. But that's not true. That's a voice of confusion. Maybe it's shouting in your ear saying you're not forgiven. You're not worthy to be forgiven. I don't know what voice it is, but these are some of the voices we hear at times. The accuser of the brethren. You aren't forgiven. And if you hear them voices in your ear tonight, I'm encouraging you to do something about it. Because God, that's not the voice of God. The voice of condemnation with hopelessness and despair. That is not God. He's a God of hope. He's the God of all hope. God wants to remove the clouds and let the sun shine in. So if those are the voices you're hearing tonight, voices of condemnation, voices of doubt, Voices of discouragement. You're just ready to give up. I don't know where you are in your Christian life, but if those are the voices you're hearing, that's not God speaking. There's the voices of entertainment. This goes into music and even friends. I'm sorry, friends can be a good thing. Peer pressure in a positive way can be a good thing, but I'm sorry, but friends can be a distraction. So we're getting into some things that aren't necessarily all bad here, but and technology's not either, but or any of them, actually, but these things aren't necessarily all bad in a class, but sometimes the good things in life drown out the best. And over, we see young people who really have a chance, and they're doing well spiritually, but then they get wrapped up, and they're just so socially busy. They don't have time to draw aside and meditate on the Word of God, listen to the voice of God, and they don't grow spiritually. They just stop there. So I want to encourage you, young people, your music, what's speaking in your voice, in your ear, what's shouting in your life. Sometimes we have to remove some of those things so we can hear the God that is speaking. In business, this is real to me. This is challenging to me. This is hard. We live in a time where opportunities are endless to make money. And it's hard to say no sometimes. And business is there, and then we just grow it and grow it and grow it. When are we going to stop? And what are we willing to pay? Is that business really worth giving up this real, vital, vibrant relationship with God? Where we have time to sit down, open the Word, and pray, and walk with God. What a blessing compared to making more money. Now, I know we have to work, and I know we have businesses. I'm part owner of a business. It's a challenge. I'm just acknowledging it. It's a real challenge in this world. And business is shouting in my ear all the way out here today. I'll take care of that. Yes. Oh, yeah, I got to take care of that. It's there. It's shouting. We have to be able to stop and hear the voice of God at times in our life. There are good things in our lives that are drowning out the voice of God. An example of this is in Luke 10, verse 38 through 42, where you have Martha and Mary there. And one was serving, busy serving and doing the good things. And the other one says, it just says that she sat there. I'll just read you the verse. And she had a sister, it talks about Martha first. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Amen? Martha was busy. Bless her heart. You mothers are busy. I want to encourage you tonight. My wife is so busy, and she, bless her heart, she serves and ministers to the family. And it's hard, but try to discipline your mind when you can. When you're rocking that baby in the middle of the night, direct your thoughts to the Lord. Meditate on his word. Sing his word. Don't miss those opportunities. I've done it. I sat there grouchy. You know, why can't I be sleeping? Wasted a whole half hour. It's way better just to, okay, Lord, here I am. Half asleep, but we try. Direct those thoughts to the Lord. You dear mothers, I just want to bless you. But Mary, she sat there and heard the word of the Lord. God still wants to communicate with us. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. Seven times in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, it says, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. It was a message going out from God speaking. Now let's turn to Hebrews chapter 2 for closing, some closing warnings and thoughts here. This thought is clear through the book of Hebrews, I'll assure you. We're not going to clear through it. But Hebrews chapter 2, we have a warning here. It's in the context of hearing this message, hearing this word. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. See that you don't push him away that's speaking to you. Hebrews 2 verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. And he's pointing back to these first three verses in Hebrew. We should give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels, and that's referring to the old covenant, was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. So there we have a warning to take heed to the words that we've heard, lest we let them slip. And this is speaking about the words of the gospel message. In the next chapter, Hebrews 3, and this will be our, we'll close on this. One more warning and admonishment for us to consider. And this again refers to the nation of Israel. And God speaking to them. Hebrews 3, verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. See that? They heard his voice, hardened their hearts. As in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence, steadfast unto the end. Verse 15, while it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, a God who is speaking, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. They didn't all provoke, some did, and some listened, some obeyed. Some heard the voice gladly, received it, and believed it. So we'll just give an opportunity to respond tonight. I don't know where you are, but if God has spoken to your heart, if you've never been born again, and you felt God speaking to you, sense God speaking to you from his word tonight. He wants to take you on. He wants to bring you to that place of being born again by the word of God to a new life, a new creation. Because without it, you're just dead in your trespasses and sins. So we'll give you opportunity to respond if you want. If God's speaking to you and drawing you by his spirit tonight. And if anyone else, if God's spoken to your heart about areas in your life that have been drowning out the voice of God, and you want to, you sense a need to respond to that, feel free to do that. We'll just open it up. We don't want to spend a lot of time. Do you have, where's the brother leading the song, hymns? Right here. Do you have a hymn, brother?
Number 79.
So number 79. And if you want to respond...